This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Hey, this is Craig Lubo, and thank you for joining us on Radioactive Magazine. Today we're going to have essentially three segments. We are going to have Spencer Graves on, and he's one of the hosts that we have here. Okay, so we'll have Spencer Graves talk about net neutrality. He's in Washington, D.C. this week, and he is visiting with our legislators, the two senators from Kansas, or at least somebody on their staff, and the same thing with Representative Yoder. And he's going to talk about what he has learned about their positions on net neutrality. And he'll also explain to you what that is. Because this is also our pledge drive, we are also going to play two clips from previous segments. One of those clips is a show that I did that played back in July, and that was an interview with Cynthia Lucas, who was one of the co-producers of a film called Gandhi's Gift. And we're going to talk about the meaning of the life of Gandhi. And then we're going to play a clip from a show that David Mitchell did in August with the Conservation Heartland Conservation Alliance. And do we have
Spencer, are you on the line?
Yes, I hope so.
All right, I hear you, Spencer.
You hear me?
Yes. We'll talk to Spencer first, and then we'll go break for a little, talk to you about the pledge drive before we go into the second segment. Welcome, Spencer. Let me have you start with just if you can talk for a minute or two about what net neutrality is and why that's important.
Sure. Net neutrality is the principle that all the traffic on the Internet should be treated equally. And it became an issue starting in 2008 when one of the engineers who had created the standards for our modern Internet, discovered that Comcast was blocking his efforts to download barbershop quartet music from the 19th century because they didn't like the software he was using, BitTorrent. I don't know. Anyway, he documented that. That led to a series of hearings by the FCC and an increased wave of activism that led to 3.7 million comments filed with the FCC in 2014 and a so-called Title II order in early 2015 that established that the FCC could, in fact, force the Internet access providers to not block, not throttle, not alter, including stripping encryption, all of which they'd done before, and redirect, as they had done before, people's requests for information from the Internet. And why is it important? It's important for a variety of reasons. One is the future of the Internet depends upon it. The future, the rate of innovation, according to 191 Internet pioneers and engineers and technologists, said that the Internet, new innovation in the Internet will come to a screeching halt because the people will have no way of knowing, the innovators will have no way of knowing what they know what they send to the user, but they don't know what the will not be able to know what the end user is actually seeing. And to get any clarity on that would require extensive permissions that would be essentially impossible for any startup to get.
All right.
I personally got involved in it because progress on every substantive issue I can think of is blocked because every countermeasure threatens someone with substantive control over the media. Because anybody with net neutrality, anybody with internet access can compete in the marketplace of ideas based solely on the content of their the quality of their presentation, and that would no longer be true if the internet access providers if the government had no way of forcing internet access providers not to block, throttle, alter, and redirect your FOIA request for information.
All right. And during the Obama administration, did the FCC pass some rules that helped to protect net neutrality?
Correct. This whole wave of a groundswell of activism that I mentioned came to a head in 2014, and in early 2015, the Obama administration made a ruling that said that, okay, the internet access providers are telecommunications services under the 1936 Telecommunications Act, as updated in 1996, and that they were telecommunications services, not information services. People go to the internet not for the information that their internet access provider provides, but for information that everyone else in the world provides. And so, just logically, a telecommunications service is a better fit. But the telecommunications service, the FCC is allowed to prevent the internet access providers from blocking, altering, throttling, and redirecting, et cetera, which they're not able to do otherwise.
All right. And so you're in Washington, D.C., meeting with the legislators. What are you trying to get them to do?
So the number one ask really is just ask them to, preferably publicly, but if not publicly, at least quietly behind the scenes, urge the FCC not to overturn the 2015 Title II order that made net neutrality actually enforceable.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Okay.
That's our primary ask.
When you met, were you able to meet with any of the legislators, or was it just staff people?
I met with their staff. I did not meet with Senator Roberts or Moran or Representative Yoder at all. I met with, I did get in to meet with the legislative analyst who specializes in net neutrality for each of the three. And of course, that's three different people, right?
And did you get any clues from them as to what the two senators and representative might do if that issue comes up in Congress at all?
Well, you know, I'm not, I think the people I talk to, you know, they're not in a position to make public comments about the senator or representative. But I earlier sent emails to the two senators and to Representative Yoder asking about that, and all three replied, giving me standard telecom industry talking points that claim net neutrality is wonderful. They just don't think it should be enforceable. All basically, right. All right. They claim that the Obama era Title II order, they call it, all right, that made net neutrality enforceable. Increased enormously the uncertainty and depressed financial investment by almost $1 billion in 2015. Well, I did some research on the U.S. telecom figures that the FCC cited in their notice of proposed rulemaking, the procedure they're trying to go through to make this proposed change that they want, the Trump administration wants, Trump's FCC wants to make. The data, that almost $1 billion, is less than 75% of the annual changes since 1996. It's not statistically significant. And the major telecom companies know this, in the publicly traded internet access providers in their filings with the federal the Securities and Exchange Commission do not mention the Title II order at all. They say business is wonderful. All right, that's important and relevant because their SEC filings, Securities and Exchange Commission, is the only place with credible penalties for lying and deceit.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you for filling us in on that, Spencer, and we'll look forward to seeing you when you get back.
No, and while you're on the line, you might, you know, we're going to pitch here for just a second or two because it is the pledge drive,
and I know you have absolutely, and I'm all set to tell people why I think it's important that they support KKFI.
Well, you tell them that right now.
As I mentioned. Progress on every substantive issue I can think of is blocked because every countermeasure threatens someone with substantive control over the media. The big money do not control KKFI, all right? We serve at the pleasure of our volunteers and our contributors. People who give $1, $5, $20, you know, a little bit more, but not the, $100,000 checks or whatever.
Although we would take them.
$100,000 checks that the big money, right?
Right. And people, I want our listeners to know, so if they don't understand the difference, we're not like public radio because we don't get grants. We don't, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, federal and state, do not give us grants. We rely solely on the support of the listeners who call in their pledges.
Right, and that's listeners just like you people listening right now. So I'm going to make sure we get a chance to have you call in. So this is a perfect time to call in and show your support for public affairs programming at KKFI, where you get the news and views you don't hear any place else. And Radioactive Magazine, net neutrality, we're talking about that. In the past, we've talked about pay inequality. We've talked about racism. We've talked about the minimum wage. We've talked about gun violence. And these are all radio programs that are produced by volunteers right here in Kansas City. So please call now. Show your support by giving us a call at 888-931-0901. Or if you're listening online, kkfi.org. Please donate. So any last words here, Spencer, before we play this next segment that Craig's going to queue up for us?
I think that support the political corruption exists because the media don't report the problems. Okay, we have a lapdog press, not a watchdog press, if we can fix the media, no matter what your number one issue is, fixing the media is part of the solution.
That's well said. And you can show your support for those sentiments by giving us a call at 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. Thanks for calling in, Spencer, and we'll see you when you get back in town.
You bet. Thank you.
And
bye.
If you have any, if you want to pledge over the website, you can go to kkfi.org/donate. And we have some thank you gifts, too, if you want to call in. For a pledge of $90 or more, you can get the KKFI T-shirt. It's a long-sleeve T-shirt. It's cold today, so you may want to come down and pick it up in a few days so you can have a long-sleeve one. It's got the KKFI logo and the phrase "Voice of the Community," which is what we are, and that's why hopefully you're supporting us. For $150 or more, you can be a guest DJ, which will allow you or someone you know to be a radio personality for 1 hour on one of our locally produced music shows.
Yeah, and we got somebody to thank. We got an anonymous caller that gave we don't tell how much they gave. They gave a generous donation. So show your support for what we're doing down here. The wonderful thing about KKFI, among the many things, is this station is it takes a half a million dollars to run the station every year, and there are 2 paid staff and over 200 volunteers to make it happen. And so these people donate their time so that you can donate the finances. And to, just like it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to support a community radio station. So give us a call at 888-931-0901. Get some of those great thank you gifts, but mostly just get the satisfaction of knowing that you are supporting an institution here in Kansas City. Been all in, on the air almost 30 years, and we could not have done it without listeners just like you. And we do these pledge drives because without them, we would just simply wouldn't stay on the air. So give us a call, 888-931-0901.
All right.
So what else? What else
so
we got in line
we're
here?
Going to play a clip from July. It was from Cynthia Lucas on Gandhi's Gift. And then we'll talk to you a little bit more and then go to our second clip.
Believe that the world needs Gandhi's gift or Gandhi's message of nonviolence, equality, interfaith unity, and sustainability now more than ever before. And we think that it's time to bring forward Gandhi's message again. And we particularly wanted to show a documentary about his final years. Gandhi's Gifts covers his final 4 years of his life before he's assassinated in 1948. But we wanted to show those years because we believe that he does reach his highest attainment, both spiritually and politically during that time. And we believe the world needs his kind of inspiration at this moment. In many ways, these are dark times with a lot of political and social challenges going on around the world, around the globe, but also in our country. And Gandhi is an excellent model of grassroots activism that can be, even though he lived in India, can be translated to our country and other countries in terms of working for justice and peace. And so we wanted to bring his story forward again. We thought it was time again after 1982 with the Ben Kingsley film.
Let's do just a little background about him. I think he was from South Africa. Is that correct?
Well, he was from India, but he lived in South Africa for 21 years, and then he went back to India, where he did his great work that he's most known for, such as leading the Salt March in India and also the Quit India campaign. Now, what were these campaigns about? He was working to really encourage and persuade the British to leave the country of India. He said that that's what he would do. He would not use violence in any way, but he would nonviolently persuade the British to leave his country. They had been dominating and oppressing the Indians for many decades, and Gandhi believed that it was time that India rule itself and not be under the thumb of the British colonial rule. And so that's what he did. He liberated his people and freed them from that oppression. And so he was living from the years 1869 to 1948. And the year before he was assassinated in 1948, in August of 1947, India became independent. So he did gain independence from the British. He was largely responsible for that with all of his followers, and he did it in a nonviolent way. He showed the world how to liberate a large number of people, millions and millions of people in India, and he showed the world how to do that in a completely nonviolent way.
India was a colony of Britain for how long?
Well, that would have been for almost 100 years. So not quite that 100 years, but longer. So, but they were there since about in the 1800s. They came in first through the British India East a company, and then as rulers themselves. They just decided they would take over India, and the reason is because they wanted the Indian resources, all of the resources they wanted to take from India.
As far as his nonviolence and showing the role that it could be done, while he remained nonviolent, it would be fair to say that a lot of people in India, that there was still a lot of violence. It was his goal to prevent that violence.
Yes, that's correct. In his great campaigns, he would always tell people as they were protesting against the British not to hate the British and not to be violent against the British, but to be nonviolent. However, in almost every campaign he had, if not everyone, violence would break out. And early in his career, he never held public office, but I just mean his political agitation career. Early on, he would stop the campaigns if they became violent. But then his last major campaign, called Quit India, he announced that if violence broke out, he would still encourage people not to be violent, but if it did break out, he wasn't going to end the campaign, and he didn't. And Quit India was largely responsible for the British deciding that they had to leave India. They couldn't stay there any longer. This was too large of a protest campaign that India underwent under the leadership of Gandhi, and so they made the decision: we've got to go. We can't rule any longer.
During this time period, I think there was a lot of dissension between the Hindu and the Muslims.
That's correct.
How did he? Okay. All right. So this was just one example of shows that we've presented. We've been on the air for 4 years. Well, KKFI's been on for more than 20 years, but Radioactive Magazine has been here for 4 years now, and so we've done over 100 shows, and this was just one of those examples. If you believe in supporting stories like this and you want to hear more of this, then we need you to let us know that you support us, and the best way to do that is to call in the pledge. You can do that by calling 888-931-0901. Again, that's 888-931-0901, or go to our website, donate at kkfi.org/donate. And we have the thank you gifts we have available. If you call in the credit on your credit card, a donation $90 or more is a long sleeve t-shirt from KKFI, has a KKFI logo and Voices of the Community, which is what we're all about, is being a voice of the community and giving you a voice in our affairs. For $150 and more, you can be a guest DJ. And for a donation of $200, we do have a special thank you gift this fund drive, which is a concert with Kelly Hunt and Jeff Black. That's on Friday, December 1st. And if you call in a donation, you want that, we will give you the details that they'll be performing at Knucklehead Saloon. So please call in with support. And if you have any ideas and you're an activist in progressive movement on any issue and you think there's an issue you'd like us to cover, let us know when you call in your pledge, and we'll make a note of that and we'll try to cover that. So we're going to close with our last clip, which was an interview David Mitchell did with Heartland Conservation Alliance, which is a conservation coalition of 30 or more organizations, and they talked about the Blue River, which is a local river here.
Typically with the Blue River.
So one thing that we're doing is the Renew the Blue campaign, as I just said, and basically it's a collaborative effort between our partners to get the word out about the Blue River and to just let people know the recreational activities that they could do on the Blue River. and to protect it, because we want, as a collaborative effort, the Blue River to be this swimmable, fishable, lovable river. So we join with our partners to basically adopt this logo, the Renew the Blue, and you know, put it on your Facebook page and on your promotion materials, and spread the word about Renew the Blue and the Blue River. And again, it's a message campaign to outreach to the public that the Blue River is a community asset for everyone to enjoy.
What kind of things are people using the Blue for canoeing, and are they using the Blue for that, and what else do they?
Absolutely. We've talked to many community members how they will float the river, especially after a big rainfall, and we ourselves have been there as well, or at least our supervisor, Jill Erickson, she's floated the Blue River.
I'll say Kansas City is a fascinating ecosystem to work within. As an ecologist, it's where the Oak Hickory Forest meets the prairie. It's where the Kansas River confluences with the Missouri River. The Blue River is just a lesser known asset within this community. Its headwaters are out near the Overland Park Arboretum in Johnson County, Kansas, and it flows through the heart of Kansas City, Missouri, to confluence ultimately with the Missouri River. And as Joy pointed out, the river is a community asset that's probably not well seen. When we interact with people, a lot of people don't know where it is. Lots of people at the Kansas City Zoo don't realize that it flows through the zoo. And so there are a lot more opportunities to get people on the river for recreational activities. And so part of the Renew the Blue campaign is increasing the amount of access points for everyday Kansas Cityans to be able to go from their neighborhood onto that Blue River for things like canoeing, but as well as us using the Metro Green Corridors and trail network to just maybe travel within their favorite destinations along the Blue River.
Are there any specific events coming up in relation to the Blue River in the next couple months or so?
Absolutely. and I really encourage people to follow the Renew the Blue campaign on Facebook, okay. As well as I believe there's also a website.
There's a website, and on Heartland Conservation Alliance webpage, there's a calendar that has all the events in and around the Blue River watershed.
Yeah, I know the Blue River for me has been is something that's definitely not been on my radar, and I was not aware until I saw your website that it was originated so close in the region. So, what other kind of projects is Heartland Conservation Alliance working on?
Okay, so that was Dave Mitchell giving you some good information about things going on in the world of environment. So you get one more chance to give us a call. Give us a call. Show your support for locally produced public affairs program. You know, in the political environment we're in, we need as many voices out there as we can to be a countervailing force for some really strange things going on in this world. I think you know what I'm talking about. So we try to be that voice as best we could, and we try to be a voice for this community. And you can show your support.